Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. This is number 4, Who and What Controls Your Mind. There are so many things now that are out there to get your attention. Just think what they have discovered when people go out and they get away from the electricity. They have no television. They have no cell phones. They have no regular phone. And they're out away from everyone else, and it's peaceful, and it's quiet, and you can enjoy yourself. At first, when they go out there, they're bored because there's nothing to do. But since they have to cut their own wood, make their own kindling, make their own clothes, talk to one another, otherwise they'll all become deaf mutes. Once they've been out there for a while, then they hate to come back and get into the rat race again. And if you go to the airport, you'll see it as never before. People, almost everyone walking along, using their smartphone, texting someone. And you look at everyone out there waiting for a plane. Everyone's got a computer on. Everyone's got a phone they're working with. No one's talking to anyone, and it just shows you how human beings are. All of these things, all of the gadgets that we have, and all of the means of using them controls our minds. Now, it's pretty close to Christmas. Matter of fact, that's tomorrow. I don't announce it because we're going to celebrate it. Hope you understand that. But I bet if I ask you to sing some of the Christmas carols, though you haven't participated in Christmas for how long, I bet you could do it almost by heart, couldn't you? Have we been programmed? You go into a store and you're walking around. All of a sudden an impulse hits you. You buy something. Was that your thought, or did that come via the music? They had this, they had secretly programmed in non-audible words, but mind-receptive words, don't steal, don't steal, no shoplifting. Just by having those suggestions in the background of the music, they reduced the shoplifting. Now today it doesn't make any difference. You know, you've seen the ad where the guy goes into the department store and a grocery store and he's stacks his cart full and he stuffs it in his coat, in his pockets, in his pants, and he's looking like this to get out the door. So he gets to the door and the clerk runs up and, "Here, Mr. Jones, is your receipt." They can track it. They're working on things to try and control the mind even much more than we have ever thought. IBM says they're close to being able to develop a computer where you don't have to have hands-on. All you need to do is sit there and think. You don't even have to say computer on. Now, I wonder how the message is going to be received with all the evil thoughts flowing around in your head, especially in the world, because it says that the imagination of man, in Genesis 6, is only evil all the time. Let's see what else it says about the thoughts of men. Let's come to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Then we'll get back to Proverbs. We finished up through chapter 3. But Psalm 94. Okay. Let's go there and let's see if we can get the verse here. Psalm 94. Verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. And that man cut off from God by himself is altogether vanity. And I know this past week they've been having the marathon on the planet and the universe, just running it steady on the Animal Channel. And it showed some of the things out there in the universe, showed some of the things in the ocean. And the ocean is such a fantastic thing. You know, and all we do, we just see the top of it. Say, oh, that's great. God created this ocean. Well, how does he maintain it? what does it do to the earth? You see, we couldn't live on the earth unless there were the ocean and God had it with the currents and had it with the tides, everything like this. And then all the fish and all of the small little things. And it showed. It showed how sardines reproduce. They get great schools of sardines and are all going around in a circle. And then all of a sudden, the females start laying their eggs, just blowing them out into the water. And then the males start squirting out all their sperm everywhere. And it becomes, looking down from an airplane, down on that part of the ocean, it looks like a great white cloud. There are millions and millions and millions of them. And then it shows all of the other fish coming in to eat them up. And you'd think, oh, boy, how do we get any fish out of the ocean? It's incredible how many are out there. And then it shows various different fish, how they reproduce, and all of that. God made it so fantastic. And every one in its own niche. And yet man has the audacity to think that he can become like God. Well, thoughts of man are vanity. Now let's come here to Proverbs 26. We'll look at some Proverbs now. Proverbs 15, not 26, 15 and verse 26. Sorry about that. Proverbs 15 and verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Now, here is the whole point of the book of Proverbs. Everywhere in the book of Proverbs, we have right and wrong, good and evil, if then. Just like we covered in the last segment, we have three ifs, if, and two thens, then, and how we need to seek God's way. Now, the book of Proverbs is also written so that it is designed also for unconverted people so that they can have some knowledge of God and give them direction on how to program their minds with the Word of God. Because you see, everything that you do from birth on programs your mind. And our minds are what are called very plastic. And we can actually change the neural connections by training and discipline. They've even found that in a case of one woman, they had to take out one half of her brain. Now, when you take out half of the brain, you take out the left half, the right half of the body virtually goes dead because the left hemisphere controls the right side of your body, the right hemisphere controls the left side of your body. Well, over a period of time, they were able to take that one half brain and reprogram it by training and by therapy and by exercise so she could then move her limbs and walk and everything. They've also found with babies that it's very important that they crawl. You know, for a while they thought, oh boy, we'll help them walk. So they got these little walkers that they would get in. Instead of crawling, they would scoot along in the walkers. Well, what they found out was that it affected the brain and their ability to read and remember when they got to school. So what they did, they had a reprogramming of their brain and they had a 6-week course of 12-year-olds crawling. So crawling's necessary. See? Now, our brains then can be programmed. And this is why the book of Proverbs, so that our brains can be programmed to know right from wrong, good from evil. Now today, they're finding that with the college students, they haven't been taught any morals all through school. So truth is relevant. Truth is what one person will believe, but there's truth that another person will believe. And there's no right, there's no wrong, just as long as they get a benefit. And so just like the Bible says, the wicked have to forsake their way. Okay? Now let's see a couple of other proverbs here. Let's come over to Proverbs 16, just across the page there. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue are from God. In other words, God gave us this ability. But here's what happens when man is cut off from God. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's a man or a woman. But the Lord weighs the spirits. That is the spirit that men and women have. Now, have you had a hard time controlling something? Have you had a hard time getting a thought out of your mind? Now, we've talked about that before with the two sermons, the washing of the water of the Word. See, you need the Word of God, which is truth, to overcome the carnal mind, which is deceitful. You need the commandments, you need the statutes, you need the judgments of God. You need everything about God's way so that your mind can function the way that God intends it to, because he's given us free moral agency. And unless we train our minds to think properly, we're going to make wrong choices. Now here, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. However, the correction comes verse 3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That's exactly what God wants us to do. This is why he gives other instruction here. Come down to verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men turn away from evil. The only way you're going to do it is love God, fear him, keep his commandments. That's how we're made. Yes, men cut off from God can think they can go off and do anything they want to. Well, they can choose to do whatever they want to, but is it going to work? See? Now, all the influences that we have today have really created the problems that we're looking at in this society. But here is a promise from God. Verse 7, when a man's way please the Lord, even his enemies shall be at peace with him. Then you come down here to verse 9. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That is, if he does something that God asks every one of us to do. Let's come to Isaiah 55. Let's see what that is. God will bless us. God will be with us. God will do the things to give us the right thoughts, especially having the Spirit of God. But even those without the Spirit of God, if they discipline themselves with the Word of God, they will be able to do quite well. They will be able to avoid evil. These are people who that we would call upright in a society. You know, it's like one man found a whole bag of money that one of the Brinks trucks dropped, and he turned it in. He did the right thing. When the news of that got on a talk program, a lot of people called in and said, well, why did he do that? He should have kept it. See? Well, no, even God says in the Old Testament that if your neighbor's ox gets out and you know it's his and you bring it into your property, then you let him know his ox is here and you give it back to him. All right, Isaiah 55, verse 6. Now here's the key on how to keep your mind daily. This is why prayer and study. This is why growing and overcoming, see. Seek the Lord while he may be found. And he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. But there is a requirement. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. God wants us to learn to think like he does, with his character. Now, isn't that greater than anything that we can come up with ourselves? Yes, indeed. Here's why. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so that's how we return to God. All right? Let's come back to the book of Proverbs again. Let's come to Proverbs 12. Let's see some other proverbs concerning thoughts and what we need to do. I know when I began studying the Bible, what? Now, 52 years. One of the first things I did, and I didn't know what I'm preaching now, but I thought, well, I'll study the book of Proverbs. And so that's what I did. I spent an hour every day studying Proverbs, and I had a whole bunch of 3x5 cards. And I made notes of the scriptures, went by topic. Okay? Proverbs 12 and verse 5. Proverbs 12 and verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. The counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. Okay, let's come here to Proverbs 21 and verse 5. Notice how quick these proverbs are. And what it does in reading and studying the proverbs, it helps program your mind, and it helps get things in a right perspective. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. The plans of the diligent tend only to plenty, but everyone who is hasty only to poverty. The getting of treasures by lying, a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death. Now, as I mentioned before, if you have a chance, since tomorrow is going to be Christmas Day, and by the time you get the video, you'll be a week away, but it'll be New Year's Day by that time. You go ahead and go on CNBC and watch the programs on American greed and see all the plots and schemes that exposes a lot of them in Wall Street and how they swindle and how they cheat and how they lie, how they present false books for the overseers to, you know, the financial overseers to look at. And it's really something what they do. It also showed one program that I watched. It was on the world's most famous jewel thief. And he stole from some of the leading women in the world, like Liz Taylor and Zsa Zsa Gabor. He'd find out where they were. He could get into any apartment. He could scale any high tower building. And he would know where to go. He would know how to get them. And the police, when they got him, they reduced his sentence if he would tell them how he did it, because they could never figure it out. See? But here it is right there, see? Okay. Getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro by those who seek death. Okay, now let's come back here to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Now, on number three, we went through Proverbs, finished Proverbs 2, and then Proverbs 3, and so we'll come into Proverbs 4. Now, these, especially the first, actually it's the first eight, first seven or eight, are the most important. Now, here's a good example of how the Proverbs give us warning. Let's come back here to chapter 3 for just a minute. Now, what I want to do is read the first two words in verse 27. Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Do not, verse 28, do not, verse 29, do not, verse 30, do not, verse 31, do not. So you have five do nots in a row. And this is exactly what is needed for people to turn from evil and to do what is good. Now, the first one, verse 27, Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. When someone does well, let them know. Again, verse 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it with you. And God says, give, it'll be given back to you, patted down, jammed together, flowing over. Verse 29, do not plot or plan evil against your neighbor, since he dwells trustingly by you. Verse 30, do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Verse 31, do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Okay, now let's come over here to the whole key of this series. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Okay, above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence. See, we have so many things coming at us, visually, audio, inaudible things. I mean, right here in this room, right now, we have all of the frequencies of all the radio stations that are in this area. We have all the frequencies of all of the television stations that are not on cable. Now, we don't know how many other frequencies there are with that, but those things are there. Now, we don't know they're there. The only way we know is we have radio and we dial in. So you have a receptor which responds to the wave that is sent out. Now, we've got the waves from the light here. We have the waves, the sound from what we're doing here. We're recording it. All of these things you don't get when you're out in the wilderness like we started out with. Now, out there, you'll hear the birds. Out there, you'll see the stars. Out there, you'll see the animals. Out there, you have to work. Out there, you got to pull the weeds. And you have to plant your food. So living where we live now, we've got to guard the door of our minds with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The very substance of how we think, what motivates us, our values, our decisions, how we love, how we hate, all of these things are out there. And isn't it amazing that in the age when we have most of the things that are against us, what do we have? The whole Bible. And we will see a little later on with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God, we are able to be led of the Holy Spirit, so that we, in our free moral agency, choose what is right. See, God is not going to make us do anything. He will lead us if we choose. He will answer our prayers if we seek Him. But He's not going to come down and make us do a single solitary thing. We have to choose. All right, let's come back here to chapter 4 and verse 1. O children, that's why Proverbs is good for children. Hear the instruction of a father. They all have to be reminded of this, because I know and you know, I did and you did, when you were teenagers and were able to get out of the house, get away from your folks, get around your friends, you did things that you knew your parents wouldn't want you to do. Everyone has done that, right? See? I did. You did. I have never talked to someone who was perfect as a child. Okay? So listen. Okay? For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. This is Solomon writing here, referring to King David and his mother Bathsheba. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words and keep my commandments and live. Now, where do we find that? Oh, we covered that, didn't we? Yes, we did. 1 Chronicles 28. Let's go there. Especially when it came time for David to give up the ghost. Okay? 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20. And David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you, until you have finished all the work of the service of the house." Okay? Now come back here to verse 9, and let's see what he said before that. And this is very interesting, see, because Solomon is an example of having a father who taught him what was right, told him to keep the commandments of God, and he was the one to oversee the building of the temple. And what happened to him later on? He turned his back. Okay? But here's what he told him. "And you, Solomon, my son, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." And this is how we receive the blessings of God. Not doing it reluctantly. "Okay, I'll do it because you say so." You know, I remember saying that to my parents once in a while when they told me to do something. "Okay, I'll do it because you say so." How's that for an attitude? Okay. "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him." Now, doesn't this sound like Isaiah 55? And this was way before Isaiah 55 was written. "Seek him, and he will be found by you." Now notice how this is like the Proverbs. "But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever." The very first warning that David, or the first part of the last warning that David gave Solomon, he forgot and did the opposite. Isn't that amazing? Verse 10, "Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Okay, now let's come back here to Proverbs, the fourth chapter again. And it's amazing because the Bible is always up to date in every age. There's nothing old-fashioned about it. In the book of Revelation, ties in all of the sophisticated technology that we have today, that they're going to use it. Okay, this is the book which tells us how to get our lives squared around, tells us how to find God, tells us who Jesus Christ is, tells us why he came, why we need him, why we need to keep the commandments of God, everything that we need. And then down through time, as our lives go on, yes, we're going to have correction, as we've seen it. God is able to guide us and direct us if we follow him. Some of the travel will be a little difficult, but God is always there because he won't forsake us. All right. So Solomon did not live up to verses 1 through 4. Get wisdom. He did. He was the wisest man the world has ever seen. Get understanding, forget it not, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, for she will keep you. That is wisdom, always referred to in the feminine gender. Love her, and she shall preserve you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding. A lifelong education in the words and the way of God that grows deeper, builds one upon another, grows more profound. And I've been studying the Bible for 52 years and preaching for about 50 years, and I'm still learning from it, still learning from the Word of God. And I know that in reading and studying, I'll be reading along and, oh, that goes with this one. Oh, that goes with this one. See? Well, here we find it. Verse 8, exalt her and she shall promote you. She shall give you honor when you embrace her. She shall place you. She shall place upon your head a garland of grace. She shall bestow upon you a crown of glory. Now, as we read these things, think about this, the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of growing and overcoming to become qualified for the first resurrection, and think what God is going to do at the resurrection. Are we not going to have a crowned life? Yes. We're even going to have a new name. because living eternally, you got to have a new name. You can't have the old one. That was just temporary. That's for this life. See? So when someone says, who are you? You tell them who you are. But when you're resurrected from the dead and Christ gives you a new name, it's going to be quite something, isn't it? Wonder what that's going to be like. The ceremony of passing out the new name. Let's go on. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. No one wants to die young. Anybody here been confronted with death or the possibility of death? Yes, indeed. Did you want to die? Were you in a car wreck and thought you were going to die? If you were, you can remember what happened. Remember, Dolores was in a car wreck, and the car rolled over, and she was left hanging upside down in a car. You remember that ad with Nationwide? You know, Nationwide's on your side. There was Dolores. Nationwide wasn't anywhere in sight. And she came home and said, oh, Dad, don't be mad. Don't be mad. What happened? I wrecked the car. I said, are you all right? Hey, okay. Well, even in those, God spares us, right? Yes, so we can learn lessons. Verse 11, I have taught you in the ways of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. Now, how are we to be led today? Now, we'll get to it a little later on. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, just like wisdom, you have to choose wisdom. It's not going to come and force itself upon you and say, I'm wisdom here. Put this hat on. Bzz, bzz, bzz. You smarter now? No, you have to choose it. God wants us to exercise our minds. When you go, your steps shall not be hampered. And when you run, you shall not stumble. Boy, at my age, I need that now. Okay? Keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Now notice, we've had all of these things, what God is going to do for you. Now notice what happens here. Next, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Isn't that what Solomon did? Yes, indeed. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not go in it. Turn from it and pass on, because you're not going to miss anything except trouble. For they do not sleep until they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. Now you take this one verse right here, or these verses that we've just covered, rather, and watch some of the specials on National Geographic or History Channel about gangs. That's it right there. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. This is why all young people need to be taught. This is why a lot of the influence of the movies and media and television and music and things pressing upon their minds leads them to disobedience, because this is the beat of Satan the devil. And those who get into music, you need to be careful if you get into music that you don't get into music that scrambles the brain. Rock music, rap music, whatever other kind of music that they have. And it all started with the Beatles. And it started with the wrong beat. And what happens, it affects the mind just like a sound wave reflects on the speaker. You know how the speaker goes like this when the sound waves come through it? Well, it reflects on the mind. And it instills rebellion. And then they have the music amplified so much, it literally, the sound waves literally go through your whole body. I know that one of the last movies I went to, they had the music so loud and it was blasting and pounding right through everything. Boy, when I got out of that movie, I was fit to be tied. I could hardly endure it. Almost got up and walked out, but I didn't. Okay, think of what it does when people watch movies, watch television, watch DVDs. Oh, now for Netflix, $8 a month, you can download, what, 10 movies for a month? All you want. And all of them now All the movies now are more and more occult, more and more satanic, more and more transhumanism, as we covered in the series on transhumanism. Now do this when you're watching television. Look at the ads. Is there transhumanism involved? Big strong man, football, that's what they have now. They have them all dressed up. Then they have several of those. Okay. You watch Walt Disney, what do they have? They have chimpanzees speaking. And then they have the ape world run loose, you know. Transhumanism. Oop, we got the wrong genes. Now they're all killers. See? Okay. And then you go to Disneyland, what do you have? Mermaids. Transhumanism, huh? Okay. Animals that speak and all of that sort of thing. Now notice the difference right here in verse 18. And this is why Proverbs is so good. Goes along, it defines evil, tells you what is wrong, tells you don't do it, and then gives you blessing and rewards for doing what is right. Verse 18. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more to the perfect day, growing and changing and overcoming. Then the opposite. The way of the wicked is as darkness, and they do not know at what they stumble. So we'll finish chapter 4, and then we'll get into the New Testament on how God solves the problem of the wickedness of the human mind. How that's where conversion takes place. The converted behavior is a reflection of a converted mind. Okay, let's go on. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all your flesh. And I cannot emphasize enough, as we have covered, concerning emotions and healing, that if you get into emotional thinking and you get into negative emotional thinking and you, how shall we say, brew it up, stew it up, work it over in your mind, and I've seen this over and over again, those who are bitter and hateful get sick quicker. And you cannot hold evil in your mind. That's why we are to pray every day for forgiveness. See, you cannot hold evil in your mind without souring your whole body. Because what happens when you have evil thoughts and you're holding bitterness and anger and hatred and jealousy and envy and the works of the flesh, what that does, your mind puts into your bloodstream toxic chemical responses to your thoughts. They know that it does. So this is why he says here, health to all your flesh. So you've got your body, verse 22, verse 23, above all, guard the door of your mind with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then again, notice how he ends this chapter. The same way, this is why Proverbs are so fantastic. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Do we have a deceitful heart above all things? Did Paul said, lie not one to another? Yes, he did. He even converted people. We have to overcome that. And devious lips put far from you. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways shall be established. Isn't that interesting? Proverbs 16:3, that, let's read that. Let's see the difference here, because we read that. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. That goes right here with this verse. Okay? Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right hand nor to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Now, all of this takes thinking with the Word of God, choices, so that you make the right choices and don't get into the habit of getting into wrong choices, you see. And that's how you guard the door of your mind. Now, we'll take a little break, and then we'll go ahead, and we will continue on with didn't do it. Huh? That way everybody knows we're going to take a break.
They could guess it after you said it.
Did you go north this morning?
It's on.
Yeah, I didn't go south. I went north.
It's on right now.
You turned it back on.
Did I? See if I can get it off.
Here we go.
I'm not technologically inclined. Now, is it off?
It's off. Yeah.
No, we figured because of all the traffic.
That's okay. Leave it in there. They'll have something to...